Blog Talk Radio.
Comments, questions, and concerns, the call in number is 516-418-5996. And apparently I'm the only one that remembered that we were scheduled to show for today, so I'm going to be hosting until Shabaki gets on here. So yeah, Black family, as we stress on Frontline Black News, which is also later on today, at 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on StreamYard on YouTube and Facebook. Make sure you check us out. And we're demanding something tangible for our votes. So while I'm waiting on people to get in here, I'm going to play Malcolm X's The Ballad for the Bullet. Signify where we're heading toward in 2024.
This afternoon, we want to talk about the ballot or the bullet. The ballot or the bullet explains itself. But before we get into it, since this is the year of the ballot or the bullet, I would like to clarify some things that refer to me personally concerning my own personal position. I'm still a Muslim. That is, my religion is still Islam. My religion is still Islam. I still credit Mr. Muhammad for what I know and what I am. He's the one who opened my eyes. So today, though Islam is my religious philosophy, my political, economic, and social philosophy is black nationalism. As I say, if we bring up religion, we'll have differences, we'll have arguments, we'll never be able to get together, but if we keep our religion at home, keep our religion in the closet, keep our religion between ourselves and our God, but when we come out here, we have a fight that's common to all of us against the enemy who is common to all of us. Whether you are a Christian or a Muslim or a nationalist, we all have the same problem. They don't hang you because you're a Baptist, they hang you because you're black. They don't attack me because I'm a Muslim, they attack me because I'm black. They attack all of us for the same reason. All of us catch hell from the same enemy. We're all in the same bag, in the same boat. We suffer political oppression, economic exploitation, and social degradation. All of them from the same enemy. The government has failed us. You can't deny that. Anytime you live in the 20th century and you walking around here singing, "We shall overcome," the government has failed. This is part of what's wrong with you. You do too much singing. Today it's time to stop singing and start swinging. And I'm here to tell you, in case you don't know it, that you got a new generation of black people in this country who don't care anything whatsoever about odds. They don't want to hear you old Uncle Tom handkerchief heads talking about the odds. No. This is a new generation. If they're going to draft these young black men and send them over to Korea or South Vietnam to face 800 million Chinese, if you're not afraid of those odds, you shouldn't be afraid of these odds. And when I speak, I don't speak as a Democrat or a Republican, nor an American. I speak as a victim of America's so-called democracy. You and I have never seen democracy. All we've seen is hypocrisy. We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare. And the generation that's coming up now can see it and are not afraid to say it. If you go to jail, so what? If you're black, you were born in jail. If you black, you were born in jail. In the North as well as the South. Stop talking about the South. Long as you south of the Canadian border, you're South. This is why I say it's the ballot or the bullet. It's liberty or it's death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody. America today finds herself in a unique situation. Historically, revolutions are bloody. Oh, yes, they are. They have never had a bloodless revolution or a nonviolent revolution. That don't happen even in Hollywood. You don't have a revolution in which you love your enemy. And you don't have a revolution in which you're begging the system of exploitation to integrate you into it. Revolutions overturn systems. Revolutions destroy systems. A revolution is bloody. But America is in a unique position. She's the only country in history in a position actually to become involved in a bloodless revolution. All she's got to do is give the black man in this country everything that's doing. Everything. I hope that the white man can see this. Because if you don't see it, you're finished. If you don't see it, you're going to become involved in some action in which you don't have a chance. We don't care anything about your atomic bomb. It's useless. Because other countries have atomic bombs. When two or three different countries have atomic bombs, nobody can use it. So it means that the white man today is without a weapon. If you want some action, you got to come on down to earth. And there's more black people on earth than there are white people on earth. It'll be the ballot, or it'll be the bullet. It'll be liberty, or it'll be death. And if you're not ready to pay that price, don't use the word freedom in your vocabulary.
Thank you to the ancestor, Malcolm X, for reminding us of the fact that this is not a democracy for us. It's never been a democracy for us. And a democracy, you actually get your voice heard, get your issue heard and resolved. So no, this is not a democracy for us. So don't let them Democratic shields, black family, fearmonger you into voting blue no matter who. Them days are over. Vote policy over party. And since we have no party, that's the party, then, you know, we need to hold our vote until we get something tangible. So if that means voting third party, so be it. I mean, it's about time a third party candidate, you know, actually wins something in this country. It's been like over 150 years since an independent candidate won any major seat in this country. So that could possibly happen in 2024, because the Democrats are done. They're doing stuff with everybody but us. So why should we continue to give them our vote? And this fear mongering about, oh, we need to save democracy. This has never been a democracy for us. And like Malcolm X said, the hypocrisy of it all. But no, we're cool on that. We are definitely cool on that, but you know, we still have this house nigga versus field nigga dichotomy going on. So I'm gonna play Mexican house nigga field nigga while we waiting on people to get in, call in.
To understand this, you have to go back to what young brother here referred to as the house Negro and the field Negro back during slavery. There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food, what he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master said, "We got a good house here," the house Negro said, "Yeah, we got a good house here." Whenever the master said "we," he said "we." That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick? We sick." He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, "Let's run away. Let's escape. Let's separate," that house Negro would look at you and say, "Man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this?" That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay three times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. And then brag about, "I'm the only Negro out here." "I'm the only one on my job. I'm the only one in this school. You nothing but a house Negro." And if someone come to you right now and say, "Let's separate," you say the same thing that the house Negro said on the plantation. "What you mean separate? From America? This good white man? Where you gonna get a better job than you get here? I mean, this is what you say. I ain't left nothing in Africa." That's what you say. Why, you left your mind in Africa. On that same plantation, there was the field Negro. The field Negro, those were the masses. There was always more Negroes in the field then there was Negroes in the house. The Negro in the field caught hell. He ate leftovers. In the house, they ate high up on the hog. The Negro in the field didn't get nothing but what was left of the insides of the hog. They call them chitlins nowadays. In those days, they call them what they were, guts. That's what you were, a gut eater. And some of you are still gut eaters. The field Negro was beaten from morning till night. He lived in a shack, in a hut. He wore cast-off clothes.
And he hated his master. I say he hated his master. He was intelligent. That house Negro loved his master. But that field Negro, remember, they were in the majority. And they hated the master. When the house caught on fire, he didn't try and put it out. That field Negro prayed for a wind, for a breeze. When the master got sick, the field Negro prayed that he died. If someone come to the field Negro and said, let's separate, let's run, he didn't say, where are we going? He said, any place is better than here. You got field Negroes in America today. I'm a field Negro. The masses are the field Negroes. When they see this man's house on fire, you don't hear these little Negroes talking about our government is in trouble. They say the government is in trouble. Imagine a Negro, our government. I even heard one say, our astronauts. They won't even let him near the plant. And our astronauts. Our Navy. That's a Negro that's out of his mind. That's a Negro that's out of his mind. Just as the slave master in that day used Tom, the house Negro, to keep the field Negroes in check, the same old slave master today has Negroes who are nothing but modern Uncle Toms, 20th century Uncle Toms, to keep you and me in check, keep us under control, keep us passive and peaceful and nonviolent. That's Tom making you nonviolent. It's like when you go to the dentist and the man is going to take your tooth. You're going to fight him when he starts pulling. So they squirt some stuff in your jaw called Novocaine to make you think they're not doing anything to you. So you sit there and because you got all that Novocaine in your jaw, you suffer peacefully. Blood running all down your jaw. And you don't know what's happening. Because someone has taught you to suffer peacefully. The white man do the same thing to you in the street. When he gonna want to put knots on your head and take advantage of you and don't have to be afraid of you fighting back. To keep you from fighting back, he get these old religious Uncle Toms to teach you and me that just like Novocaine, suffer peacefully. Don't stop suffering, just suffer peacefully. As Reverend Cleve pointed out, let your blood flow in the streets. This is a shame. And you know he's a Christian preacher. If it's a shame to him, you know what it is to me. Because nothing in our book, the Quran, as you call it, Koran, teaches us to suffer peacefully. Our religion teaches us to be intelligent, be peaceful, be courteous, obey the law, respect everyone. But if someone puts his hand on you, send them to the cemetery. That's a good religion. In fact, that's that old-time religion. That's the one that Ma and Pa used to talk about. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a head for a head, and a life for a life. That's a good religion. And then anybody, no one resents that kind of religion being taught but a wolf who intends to make you his meal. This is the way it is with the white man in America. He's a wolf, and you are sheep. Anytime a shepherd, a pastor, teach you and me not to run from the white man, and at the same time teaches don't fight the white man, he's a traitor to you and me. Don't lay down our life all by itself. No. Preserve your life. It's the best thing you got. And if you got to give it up, let it be even Stephen. The slave master took Tom and dressed him well and fed him well and even gave him a little education. Gave him a long coat and a top hat and made all the other slaves look up to him. Then he used Tom to control them. The same strategy that was used in those days is used today by the same white man. He take a Negro, so-called Negro, and make him prominent. Build him up. Publicize him. Make him a celebrity. And then he becomes a spokesman for Negro and a Negro leader. I would like to just mention one thing else quickly, and that is the method that the white man uses, how the white man uses these big guns or Negro leaders against the black revolution. They're not a part of the black revolution. They're used against the black revolution. When Martin Luther King failed to desegregate Albany, Georgia, the civil rights struggle in America reached its low point. King became bankrupt almost as a leader. Plus, even financially, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference was in financial trouble. Plus, it was in trouble, period, with the people when they failed to desegregate Albany, Georgia. Other Negro civil rights leaders of so-called national stature became fallen idols. As they became fallen idols, began to lose their prestige and influence, local Negro leaders began to stir up the masses. In Cambridge, Maryland, Gloria Richardson. In Danville, Virginia, and other parts of the country, local leaders began to stir up our people at the grassroots level. This was never done by these Negroes whom you recognize of national stature. They controlled you, but they never incited you or excited you. They controlled you. They contained you. They kept you on the plantation. As soon as King failed in Birmingham, Negroes took to the streets. King got out and went out to California to a big rally and raised about, I don't know how many thousands of dollars. Come to Detroit and had a march and raised some more thousands of dollars. And recall, right after that, Wilkins attacked King, accused King and the Corps of starting trouble everywhere and then making the NAACP get him out of jail and spend a lot of money. And then he accused King and Corps of raising all the money and not paying it back. This happened. I got it in documented evidence in the newspaper. Roy started attacking King, and King started attacking Roy, and Farmer started attacking both of them. And as these Negroes of national stature begin to attack each other, they begin to lose their control of the Negro masses. And Negroes was out there in the streets. They was talking about, we're going to march on Washington. By the way, and right at that time, Birmingham had exploded, and the Negroes in Birmingham, remember, they also exploded. They began to stab the crackers in the back and bust them upside the head. Yes, they did. That's when Kennedy sent in the troops down in Birmingham. So, and right after that, Kennedy got on the television and said, this is a moral issue. That's when he said he's going to put out a civil rights bill. And when he mentioned civil rights bill and the Southern crackers start talking about they were going to boycott it or filibuster it, then the Negroes start talking about what? We're going to march on Washington, march on the Senate, march on the White House, march on the Congress and tie it up, bring it to a halt. Don't let the government proceed. They even said they were going to go out to the airport and lay down on the runway and don't let no airplanes land. I'm telling you what they said. That was revolution. That was revolution. That was the Black Revolution. It was the grassroots out there in the street. Scared the white man to death. Scared the white power structure in Washington, D.C. to death. I was there. When they found out that this black steamroller was going to come down on the Capitol, they called in Wilkins. They called in Randolph. They called in these national Negro leaders that you respect and told them, call it off. Kennedy said, look, y'all letting this thing go too far. And old Tom said, boss, I can't stop it because I didn't start it. I'm telling you what they said.
Hey, greetings, greetings, Grand Rising with Shabaka and the Chains. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, that there was a one and only Mr. Malcolm X here in the beginning of our podcast. We have had technical difficulties yesterday, and this is why, you know, we're coming on today. So we're up on it. We don't know what's going on with the algorithm and what have you. So, you know, our chat room is open, you know, for all our haters to put their chat mail in there. Also, too, you know, this here is a Saturday morning, and we do Grand Rising with Shabak and the Chays on Fridays. But due to technical difficulties with Blog Talk, we couldn't get on yesterday. Okay, Brother Che, good morning, Chief Man. How's things there in the Mile High Income City? Brother Che? Okay, folks, yeah, we lost Brother Che there for a moment. Okay. And so, you know, as we all know, what's going on with these current times here, and the air date of this episode is Saturday morning, September the 16th, okay, and it's getting wintry, you know, around the, you know, northern hemisphere and what have you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so please call in with your comments, questions, and concerns at 516-418-5996. All right. Okay. And what we're going to do is take us an intermission right here. Okay. And listen to just a Mary McKeeper for a moment. Okay, Brother Che, you in the studio?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we need to go on. Shabaka. Shabaka, I can't hear you. No. I can't hear you still. I should go back in and show them to hold. I know.
Okay, greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, this is Shabaka Sankora coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada this morning. And we have the one and only Brother Che with us. Okay, yeah, we've been having some technical difficulties here at Blog Talk Radio. And this is Season 7, Episode 4, 8. And this is an open mic discussion. We ask that everyone is respectful to those who may disagree. These are some trying and unique times. Artificial intelligence is taking over very rapidly. The upcoming election of 2024 will perhaps be the most controversial in the history of the United States.
Yeah, I'll be ready to discuss this about here. I was just waiting on people to call in.
Okay.
I played two clips from Malcolm X, The Ballad and the Bullet, and how
okay.
The world was revealed.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, without a doubt. Okay. So, therefore, as Brother Malcolm had said over 60 years ago, you know, just like when you had the change in times going on then, you got them going on now. And the main thing is that's really is out here that's messing with everybody is this artificial intelligence. It's because I am so sick and tired of turning on my laptop and turning on my cell phones. I got to listen to all this pinging and advertising and all of a bunch of garbage, you know, that what I'm not interested in. And then I'm quite sure the general public, you know, is going through it as well, too. And then not to mention the fact is that it's mind control, mind manipulation that they're doing. You know, this is how they got these... I'm sorry?
Did you call in twice?
Oh, man. Okay, hold on. Okay, which phone? Okay. Yeah, I see me up here twice.
Yeah, so they must still be having technical difficulties.
The difficulties, yeah. Okay, can you hear me still?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So they got some algorithms messed up. And it could be, you know, once again, you know, the dangers of artificial intelligence that we're talking about is because they processing food with this shit, man. They're using it for homeland security, for airlines and all it is. And you just hear that and they want everybody to be so fucking gullible, man, just hearing this shit. Well, just download the app. You don't know what that shit is that you're downloading on your phone. You don't know what that shit is or what you're putting all your personal information on. Okay, and then it falls off into the wrong damn hand.
And it makes it where you can't even take the battery phone. So
that's the phone.
Like that. You can't do that.
Yeah, you see? Okay, and Brother Che, you're crackling up.
My internet.
Okay, internet connected. Alright, okay, alright, so therefore, so, you know, you got the internet.
Connect. You have to connect.
Okay, all right, yeah, okay. Brother Che is having some technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen, in our Denver studio. All right, so if you're out there within earshot, you know, give us a call here at 516-418-5996. We're live now. And so what it is that was about the black community, if I was going to countermand, you know, this intelligence stuff, number one. Also, two, what is it going to do to us in the long run going against our best interests? Yes, sir. And then, you know, it's just downright insane, people. And then the cold part about it is that what can we do about it? You see, that's the question, you know, what can we do about it, you see? And then on top of that, how do we, you know, become independent of it, you know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, how we can upgrade the quality of our lives, you see, you know, with or without it. But, you know, we got to be servicing, you know, our interests first, you see? And then also, too, which is really taking us down the tube, that we as a people is just too giving of our knowledge. You see what I'm saying? We really are. And actually, it's very, very sad. It really is. You know? And so, therefore, so we are asking, you know, those out there this morning, hey, let's hear what the people are saying this morning. So give us a call here at 516-418-5996. And, you know, we've been having some technical difficulties, you know, this morning and yesterday when we couldn't get it up or get the program up or what happened. And so that's what we're doing. Okay. And so give us a call. See what's on your mind. And let us know. Shabaka's Grand Rising, Shabaka's and the Chase. And generally, we do the show here, you know, every Friday morning, but due to technical difficulties, you know, we had to wait till today. Okay, so what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a brief intermission right here. We're going to play African Sunset by Miriam Makeba.
Baba, Black power. Power to the people. Check your lines. I can't hear y'all. Check your lines. Check your mute button.
Okay, dynamite.
Black power. There he is, the man of the hour. Yes, sir.
So therefore, Dynamax, so you know, we was up here, man, trying to do our usual Sunday morning. Not Sunday morning, I'm sorry, brother. Yesterday morning on Fridays, right? Okay, so then, you know, we getting off into the studio and stuff, man, and they up there telling us, oh, man, you know, we having technical difficulties and all this old bullshit, you know what I'm saying? And we got Brother Che with us there out of Denver, you know. Yeah, we got Dynamite with us this morning. So this here's open mic, Dynamite. Yeah. You know, what we're saying is, we know you got a lot to say. You know, the man with the dynamism behind the mic.
I'm juggling. I usually do, but I'm juggling. I'm working. Got a conference call going. I might have to be bouncing back and forth.
Yeah.
But
it's all good.
But we can hit him up a little bit, just maybe a slight buzz of a conversation fire starter.
Yes, sir.
Unity is the key, and we're not out to hurt anyone. We're only out to protect ours. And like my song FOD, we are ain't no retreat.
Right.
It's freedom of
right.
death. Black power.
Exactly. You say yeah.
Black
and then,
power.
You know, and you have to look. Always, and you have to look at those, you know, who made the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, you know, at a key time in history. And then on top of it, too, is getting even more and more worse is because what we're seeing here, Brother Jay, you know, is that nobody wants to be concerned about our plight. You know, each time we mention slavery, what did you come up here telling me about some homosexuals over in Greece, which we don't care about? We're making that known. See, we don't care about that because, see, we're dealing, you know, with ourselves, you know, because let's face it, folks, you know, this all-inclusivity shit interferes with our self-sufficiency, and I'm making that point.
Mm-hmm.
You got to say, oh, well, you got to be all-inclusive. You got to be all-inclusive. No, we don't have to be all-inclusive.
Yeah, that's what
we've been
when I ran for mayor of Denver. They told me I have to be all-inclusive.
Yeah, no. We're changing the narrative. On that is because the reason why we're changing the narrative on that is because you got all these immigrants that they allow them to come in here that's going into the black cities where you got the black mayors at. So they're going to use the black mayors as fall guys. These black mayors are idiots anyway. London Bridge, man, Eric Adams, you know what I'm saying? Brandon
Shabaka. They shut down the referendum that the black Chicagoans put together to overturn that sanctuary city. They shut it down yesterday or the day before yesterday. Mike Johnson and the NAACP and they voted to keep the people from putting that on the ballot for 2024.
Wow. Okay, so that for folks that it just goes to show you. All right, and then also, too, I'm looking at an article here from the Wall Street Journal. Assault weapons ban to take effect in just a few weeks after Supreme Court declines to block it. Okay, so now they're messing with your Second Amendment rights right here again, right? Okay, and then down there, and I believe in the city of... let's see, the police chief, C.J. Davis, you know, to stay in new mayor's administration, you know, the police chief, you know, who was the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, you know, when they killed a young man who was calling for his mother, okay, she's keeping her job.
That was in Minneapolis that killed the young man that was yelling for his mother. You're picking up Harry Nichols.
Okay. And they say that
Tyree Nichols, I guess he's calling for his mother too. I know George Floyd was calling for his mother, so
Tyree Nichols
like a block away from his mom's house.
Yeah, that's what Tyrese Nichols, and this is the one we're talking about down there in Memphis. And so, therefore, Paul Young, who just got elected the mayor, decided to keep Sherrilyn Davis as the police chief.
And then, of course, Judge O'Brown didn't win. Because I remember Jones running for that seat.
Okay, you're talking about down in the city of Memphis. Yeah, because they got Mayor-elect Paul Young, you know, plans to keep Sherrilyn C.J. Davis as Memphis police chief when he takes office in January. And she makes $280,000 a year. Okay, so she makes well over $250,000, making the city's highest paid public employee. And Young has said public safety will be his top priority when he takes office. Okay, now I'm not going to read no more of this bullshit, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because it's a script. We've heard the same script out of Denver. We heard the same script out of Minneapolis. We've heard the same script out of Los Angeles, California. We heard the same script from London Bridge. You see what I'm saying? Over there in San Francisco. And when are these black-ass politicians going to do something for black people? Okay, you see people, when they come up there and say with this all-inclusive shit, what we're doing is that we lose the focus on ourselves, and we're more worried about the oppressor. But the oppressor always stays focused on himself, but it is us that they try to keep delusionized with this bullshit. You know, we're all the same and all this whole type of shit, but yet, though, they got their own hidden agendas that they implement, you know, against us. You see what I mean? Like their own hidden agendas. And then also, too, on artificial intelligence. Ladies and gentlemen, artificial intelligence is a falling rock. It's because I cannot get on my laptop, and I have to wait 3 minutes for all this advertisement pings, ping, 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 you know, all this advertisement shit. And then you go up there and you put up there, okay, well, I'm not interested in this ad. Okay, there's my point right there. Just that ping you heard right there, folks. Then you put up there, you know, I'm not interested in this ad. Then he send you some more shit. I'm not interested in this ad. Then they send you some more shit. And you would figure, you know, after about the 200,000 fucking time that you tell them that you ain't interested, that the son of a bitch would make it up in his mind to say, you know, these people don't want to be bothered with no advertising.
You know who's really bad with that shit about him?
Google?
Yes, YouTube.
Oh,
YouTube
yeah,
is making
too.
It where... You have to be a premium subscriber to avoid the ads. If you have a ad blocker like ICE, they give you problems. And then the StreamYard, if you have an ad blocker, it acts really weird, really wonky, real weird. Like it'll freeze up. Like, remember all those shows that we had to that kept freezing up?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, that we had to delete. We had to delete a few of them, too. And then, so...
You can't platform with ad blocking.
Yeah, just say, and then, too, and then, like, when I see Brother Dynamite and Brother Shigel Akbar, you know, putting up their posts, man, they be getting hit with these blocks. The same thing, too, man. They be coming off of this, what is that there, man, that we... had right there, TikTok. You see what I mean? You know, that there as well, too. And then keep in mind, people.
All of us. Black content, all social media users, we're all being shadow banned.
Stricken off. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Without a doubt.
They're shadow banned. Making sure our notifications aren't going on. comments, the unsubscribing people from our channel.
And then, too, man, and then, you know, like case in point right now, I'm trying to share this episode here on Twitter. You see, that won't even let us go to Twitter no more, man. You know what I'm saying? Oh, but here's this advertisement. Yeah, but here's this advertisement. You know what I'm saying?
That's
what
they
get paid. So the only way you can avoid the ads on YouTube is to become a premium user.
Right. And
I'm still
getting
my ad blocker. I'm still getting my ad blocker regardless.
Yep. Okay, now here's a story here at the AP, Brother Dynamite. Okay, a black woman was criminally charged after a miscarriage. It shows the perils of pregnancy post-Roe, okay? And this is from Columbus, Ohio. Ohio was in the throes of a bitter debate over abortion rights this fall when Brittany Watts, 21 weeks and 5 days pregnant, began passing thick blood clots. The 33-year-old Watts, who had not shared the news of her pregnancy even with her family, made her first prenatal visit to the doc behind Mercy Health St. Joseph's Hospital in Warren, Ohio, a working-class city about 60 miles southeast of Cleveland. The doctor said that while a fetal heartbeat was still present, Watts' water had broken prematurely and the fetus she was carrying would not survive. He advised heading to the hospital to have her labor induced so she could have what amounted to an abortion to deliver the non-viable fetus. Otherwise, she would face significant risk of death, according to the records in her case. Okay, you see, you know, they coming up with all kind of ways, people, you know, to kill us on procreation.
Yeah, they kill us in the womb, they kill us when we're born.
They kill us in the jailhouse, they kill us, man, with the
criminal
justice system.
Yeah,
and then also, too, and then I want to read up more upon these bombs, Adams and Brandon. And I cannot stand these clowns. Okay, Black Chicago. Okay, they black.
Well, you
see
when Adam started getting on cold and questioning Biden, what happened? Now he
they shut him down. Exactly. There you go. So therefore, man, is showing here, man, is that, okay, this is a YouTube video. And then what's happening is, man, is that the YouTube videos, they're mainly using for the news now. And then as you pointed out, Brother Che, that they want you to pay for it. Yes. And then on top of it, too, just like with Facebook, you know, is because you remember the lie that Facebook said when it first came out, Facebook is free and it always will be.
Yeah.
But what they're doing is that they're marginalizing your exposure unless you do pay. You see what I mean? And then also, too, Brother Dynamite, we got the StreamYard set up, too, man. You know, so get with us, man. Yeah, and Dynamite is in the Eastern.
Pacific.
Okay, so that is
Dynamite. 9 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, so that's going to be midnight at Dynamite, man.
Oh, he's
Dynamite
on the East
is
Coast?
Yes, Dynamite is on the East Coast. You're going to be up at midnight tonight, Dynamite?
He said he's on a conference call, so he might be in and out.
Oh, okay, right, okay. So anyway, you know, out there, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we're wishing our well wishes, you know, well, too, and whatnot. And then let's see if we can get off into the chat room. Let's see, check our hate mail. Okay.
I was in there. I didn't see nobody in there. Is there anybody in there now?
No, sir. Okay. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you know, please send all your hate mail to our chat room on Blog Talk Radio, you know, for Shabaka's Black Expansion. Hence, we'll read it, you know what I'm saying? And then getting back here to the city of Chicago, I'm trying to pull up here something on this Brandon Johnson. Okay. And this is an impromptu show, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Brandon Johnson's campaign. right, yes, because yesterday, you know what I'm saying, on Friday, you know, we are organizing what have you. So therefore, so what we're doing is that we're doing an impromptu is because Blog Talk yesterday, you know, saying they had technical difficulties. Okay, now just reading some of this crap about this idiot, okay? And yeah, Brandon Johnson, I'm talking about you, okay? And the number to call for you, man, is 516-418-5996. Now, okay, Brandon Johnson's campaign fund has accepted millions from unions with City Hall contracts. Okay, so once again, okay, so now he's dealing with his special interest, okay. All right, we're not don't have a problem with labor unions, okay. The campaign contributions are legal, but failed mayoral candidate Willie Wilson wants them banned in mayoral races in the 36th Ward 8, okay. And then... then there are those who want them limited, and then I got a wow, I got an ad block up here from the Chicago Sun Times. You know, subscribe to Chicago Sun Times.
Oh yeah, none of their articles unless you subscribe.
Yeah, that's the same thing the Los Angeles Times is doing as well too. Okay, so therefore, you know, and the San Francisco Chronicle as well. So therefore, you see people with this artificial intelligence. Okay, they want you to constantly keep putting money off into this shit, but it ain't providing no goddamn jobs for nobody, and it keeps digging deeper and deeper into your pocket. All they hitting your computer with is advertisement. You see, okay. Now, the Chicago Teachers Union, of which Brandon Johnson was a longtime member and labor organizer for, was pivotal in getting him elected earlier this year, representing roughly 30,000 Chicago public schools educators and related staff. The Chicago Teachers Union has put more than $2.3 million into Johnson's campaign fund since late 2022. And state and national teachers have given him another $3.3 million, according to campaign filings. The Chicago Teachers Union isn't the only union with interest in city government to give Johnson money. During the same period, Johnson's campaign fund got a total of $5.7 million from other unions and labor groups. Most of that came more from a dozen unions that negotiate with City Hall and its governmental sister agencies on behalf of public employees. Okay, you see, people, these conventional black ass politicians are obsolete now. Okay, it's because you see they're serving, you know, an agenda. They're serving another hidden agenda, you know, that is against our better interest, you see. So and then you got old Governor Bud Abbott down in the great state of Texas, you know, with his hillbilly ass, is that all these immigrants who is coming over, he's putting them on buses, sending them to Democratic cities. Okay, so you see the strategy right here? Okay,
yeah.
So then for them, you know, what they're going to be doing is Dr. Claude Anderson said 10 years ago, he said it 10 years ago that these immigrants are going to be the new Ku Klux Klan. You see, they're going to be using them as what's going up against us. But what's happening now with the black community, man, everybody's still ass-scratching and yassa-bossing. And we ain't, you know, having no cohesiveness amongst ourselves. You see, that's the key. We got to have some cohesiveness amongst ourselves, people. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we appreciate people coming on, you know, on short notice because Blog Talk is messing with us. Okay, you see this economical shift that's getting ready to happen, black family. Okay,
yeah,
we don't have time. Yeah, see, and we don't have time to deal with these other groups.
We don't.
And
see, other groups are panicking because we've been the ones that's been the moral compass for this country, and we're the ones that's been holding up all these other groups. And now that we're not taping for them no more, like I said 4 years ago, the tape is off. We're not taping for your groups no more. They don't know what the hell they're going to do. So now they're they're shaming us. These small mm-hmm. hats talking about, oh, well, we helped you in the civil rights movement. Y'all also the same ones that financed the ships and insured the slaves.
Yeah, exactly. And then keep in mind, though, too, is that they benefited greatly with the civil rights movement, man, because, see, they run Hollywood. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They run Hollywood, you see. So, therefore, a lot of these black shows that you would see, man, that they were producing. And I'm trying to go back to a memory, Brother Chay, to when my parents was telling me when they, in the 1960s when they started seeing black people on TV doing commercials and stuff like that. You see what I'm saying?
You're talking about shows like Leave It to Beaver and Green Acres.
Exactly. Leave It to Beaver was in the late 50s, early 60s, and Green Acres was in the mid 60s. And then that's when they started having all the television shows going in color, because the first network to go in color was NBC. And what mm-hmm. they used to do, they used to advertise. That's why they would say, the proud of the peacock is because, you know, a peacock is very colorful. So that's mm-hmm. when NBC used to come on there, proud as a peacock. Now, NBC was the first network, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong. And keep in mind, people, I'm not the smartest tool out there, and I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. You know, I'm getting old and things of that matter right there. But anyway, it was the first black person to come on a syndicated network series was Bill Cosby in a TV series called I Spy. Okay, I remember that as a child. Okay, then the first black woman to come on television with a syndicated TV series was Diane Carroll in a television series called Julia, and it was on NBC. Okay, so both of these were on NBC, and then ABC and CBS followed suit. One of the first black anchormen on the news I remember coming on would be a guy by the name of Ed Bradley, and if there's somebody out there.
Oh, yeah, Ed Bradley. Ed Bradley was
CBS.
Minute.
Right. And then I'm trying to remember the another black newscaster on the national news. Okay, well, memory is not serving. Okay, yeah, I think he was an early pioneer as well, too, yeah. And then, let's see. And then ABC, you know, had started coming along with it. And then they started having TV series like The Mod Squad with Gloria Foster's husband, Clarence Williams III. He was on there. And then there was, the Bill Cosby Show, where he was a high school basketball coach, once again on NBC along with Julia. Okay, and then you had in the 1970s, you had Norman Lear had come on and put on a couple of black shows. Good Times is one of them. The Jeffersons was another one. He also did All in the Family, you know, old Archie Bunker and what happened. Yeah. And that there was in the early 70s. And then, of course, from the movie making industry, that's when you had all the ratchetness coming out. You know,
you
Shaft,
had
Coffee.
Yeah,
Cleopatra Jones. Let me see, Five on the Black Hand
Black
Side.
Caesar.
Yeah, Black Caesar with Fred Williamson. And then, let me see, and they made a sequel to that one. And then they made sequels to their leading ones like Shaft, because I do know you had Shaft, and you had another film that came out, something about Shaft. And then, I don't remember the name of it, but then they had a third one called Shaft in Africa. I remember that one because one there was highly popular when you had Shaft in Africa. Okay, and as a matter of fact, I believe it was filmed and laid out in Ethiopia. All right, and then you had
Roundtree. We just lost Roundtree.
Yeah,
Richard Roundtree.
Yeah, he was 83 years old, you know, and he had started off in the Shaft series as well, too. Mr. Roundtree was also a model for Ebony Magazine as well, too, down there on Michigan Avenue, on South Michigan Avenue there in Chicago as well. And so then, too, then you started having, you know, the ratchetness coming in, you know, like with when you start having movies like The Mac, and then what was that other one with Antonio Fargas?
Superfly.
Superfly, yes. Yes,
Dynamite. Yeah, Dynamite is right about that one. Yeah, with Ron O'Neill, Superfly. Okay.
The segregation of our people. You know, Hollywood puts the narrative out there that they wanted black folks to be hustlers, pimps, dope dealers, and hood rats. But we are intellectuals and scholars and world shapers and leaders, black power.
Right.
Throw that in.
Absolutely.
And salute to Brother Shabaka, Brother Shay, all of y'all, I mean, Sister Shay and all the brothers and sisters on here for keeping this as one of the top black forums on the planet. Black power. Salute. Oh.
Always. Salute, man. Yeah, salute, man. And then also, too, man, and what they're trying to do is that they're trying to limit, you know, our influence on this. You see, you know, just look at all the crap that we're going through, Brother Che. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, they say they're trying to limit our influence on that. But, however, we got up there advocating, you know, a man coming up here wearing pink shoes and wearing women's underwear and all that. Yeah, you see, most definitely.
Me too.
What's the narrative they spinning for us now? They spin a different narrative now, right? First, they wanted to I just want to elaborate on that real just for a second. The narrative that they tried to put out was the narrative that wound us in prison. So, but it didn't work like that. It actually turned out that the brothers were slick enough to stay out of prison. It just made them stronger with that thug mentality. So now they're trying to make the rappers put on pink mini skirts and high heels and hot pants and make them into straight up Bati Boys, as the rock man say. And so that way when they get to prison, if they, you know, because they still want them to go to prison, they still want that 13th Amendment to kick in. So when they get there, now they have taken their manhood and stripped it completely away. So I think that's that's their new agenda, but they still want us to be slaves. They wouldn't have never wrote it that way, say, you're free unless. You're free, period. No unless.
Right.
Black power.
Oh, absolutely. And then also, too, man, of how they coming down here on your boy, old Clarence Thomas, you know what I'm saying? It's because, you know, he had some unsavory stuff, man, you know, and they, you know, going to hit him with it, you know what I'm saying? And they trying to get rid of him, you know, and whatnot. And then they trying to limit our limit our influence here on the Tweety Bird, you see, because I'm trying to advertise on the Tweety Bird, man, and they, you know, got all this stuff jammed, man, so they know what they're doing. And then, of course, Brother Che, you know where Tweety Bird is headquartered at, you know what I mean? Yeah, so that explains everything right there, you know. Most definitely, yeah, and then, too, man, is then here's a post about Black Flag up here on Twitter. You know, the Twitter handle is as such. Former officer in viral racist encounter, David Tupper, dies in motorcycle accident. Okay, well, that's out of Houston, Texas, and we ain't going to deal with him, you know what I'm saying? And then also, too.
Sheila Jackson Lee lost her bid for mayor, and
now
she found herself trying to run back for her
congressional seat.
After she promised her congressional seat, yeah, she promised to stick to my father at Houston that if she got the leadership, she was going to take her seat. And she left sister out in the cold.
Yeah.
Her sister is either going to get in her for or against.
Okay, so I'm pulling up here on Sheila Jackson Lee, U.S. Representative from Texas. They say Ms. Lee. Yep, but she has a net worth of $2 million. She has a net worth of $2 million, and she did lose by a landslide. Okay, she has earned such great fortune through her work as the U.S. House of Representatives from Texas's 18th District. This wealth includes all her properties and earnings. She's 73 years of age. And she's running for her seat again. And then also, too, we want to pull some notations up here. You know, where she lost the mayor's race for Houston, Texas. Okay. And then, let's see. Okay, mayor's race. Okay, in Houston. Okay, so now we're trying to push this in here. And what we got, news about Sheila Jackson's Lee loses mayor's race. Okay, so the story we got up here is from Politico. And they said that she lost to a state senator who was tough on crime. Okay, so we'll see what this is all about. Okay.
Yeah, she lost to a crime.
So she lost to a tough on crime senator. So Democratic State Senator John Whitmire defeated Democratic Representative. Yeah. Sheila Jackson Lee in the Houston mayoral race in Saturday's runoff election after a campaign heavily focused on voter concerns and over safety on the street. With my perennial tough-on-crime voice, who for decades heralded Texas regulations over public safety, was declared the winner by the AP with 57% of the polls reporting. At that point, he was leading by a 2-1 margin. When backing away from the city's fire department and police unions and multi-million dollar campaign war chest, Whitmire was an early favorite in the race, finished first in the 18th candidate general election. So they had 18 candidates, in November with no candidate secured 50% of the vote. The race went to a runoff. Okay, all right, now keep in mind is that this dude here leads a quote-unquote correlation of modern Democrats, independents, and conservative voters. Okay, now, folks, why don't we just go ahead, man, and just call it for what it is, man? White supremacy. Let's just call it for what it is. You know what I mean? And then, and we went on here and reading further in this article, the showdown between Whitmire and Lee illuminates the fault lines within the Democratic Party over how to deal with crime on a local level.
It shows up also going for the bullshit, Lamar. That's what it shows. There's a lot of black people just got that one out, or they voted, for the other candidate. Sheila Jackson Lee wasn't offering nothing tangible. Sheila Jackson Lee was running with the athletic chill nonsense.
Yeah.
And the black people on here said, "To hell with this."
And I believe Minister Farrakhan, man, had said that, man, about 2004, 2000, and the 2000 presidential election, and saying is that we're not going to be voting for these sellout black ass politicians simply because they're black. It's because, you know, I remember, man, way back in Los Angeles when Uncle Tom Bradley was mayor of L.A. He didn't do nothing for black people. He did not do nothing for black people. What was Bradley's main concern was, ladies and gentlemen, the Fairfax District. What was Bradley's main concern was when he was the mayor, the San Fernando Valley. What was Mayor Bradley's least concerned agendas? Watts in South Central Los Angeles. You see what I mean? So you know, these black-ass politicians, man, you know, they just bending over, grabbing themselves by the ankles, man, and letting a white boy go all up in him. You know what I'm saying? So these dudes might as well go out here, man, and wear pink shoes, man, and lavender dresses and all that, you see? You know, just like what Hollywood did with Billy Porter. Okay, just like...
I was home and transphobic. I said, no, well, I got to put on a dress.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? And all that. And like I said, man, when you look at these dog-faced Joes being a heterosexual male, you don't see no sexual attraction for another man. I mean, that's an abomination, man. You know? And then here on this platform, we recognize they got their human rights and they got their civil rights. But as you know, Brother Jay, ain't nobody going to come up here advocating none of that shit, man, because we ain't going to allow them.
Oh,
you know?
That's genocide. They're literally advocating genocide.
Yeah.
No life
that's
coming from that.
Yes, sir. You know, we always appreciate Dynamite, you know, with us there, man. And definitely a shout out there to our brother Ned, Black Power Radio, you know, Sheikh Imam, you know, out there on the East. Hey, man, what we are is black revolutionaries, you know what I'm saying? Of course, the words that Fred had.
Hey,
with me.
I am a black revolutionary.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, each time that we do this podcast, man, and advocate what we do and putting our lives on the line and getting out there in the streets that we've done over the course of our lifetimes, man, we have put our lives on the line, you see. But how are we not? You see what I'm saying? And it's being men. And then this is why even the women have asking us to step up to be men, you know. And this is why I dig Dr. Truth Bay and her quest, you know, to become the lieutenant governor of California. And Dr. Bay, ma'am, if you're out there hearing us, feel free to call in at any time of what you got going on out there in California. You know, I'm just one state line away. Okay. We got a caller here out of 217. Okay, and then 217, just go ahead there, man, and hit the... one, we'll be more than happy to have you on the air right there. And we do apologize, ladies and gentlemen, you know, because due to things beyond our control, they had killed us yesterday, saying they had a problem with Blog Talk Radio and all that old type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So this is why we rescheduled it for today. And generally, we come on Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. in the West, 9 p.m. in the East, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, okay, 8 p.m. Central Time also, too. We've got StreamYard that we do every Saturday that's hosted by Brother Che and Lady Che. From Frontline Black News. And then in addition, too, we're in the process.
And Lady Che did an RPA a couple of days ago, so make sure y'all check that out. She did like a 6-7 hour.
Okay. And then I see we got Brother Joshua here. Brother Joshua, just press 1, man, and we'll be more than happy to bring you on air, brother, to give us some feedback. Okay.
This is oh boy that comes on with Sarge, or he followed Sarge. This is the white boy. He was in support.
Okay, well, he's welcome to push 1, you know what I'm saying? We'll hear what he has to say because we are in our last 13 minutes. for this special edition of Grand Rising with Shabaka and the Chase. And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, this podcast here, this particular show here, comes on at 8 o'clock in the morning in the Pacific and 11 a.m. in the East, okay, and 12 o'clock, wait a minute, 11 a.m. in the East, 10 a.m. in Chicago, okay, and then what time would that day be? 11 a.m. your time, Brother Che, if I got it right?
No, okay. It would be the call back in, I think.
Okay, let's go mute
him. Be added. No, it would be nine a.m. in the mountain.
Okay, right. Okay, so 8 a.m. in the Pacific, 9 a.m. Mountain Time. Okay, all right, and then 10 a.m. in the Central Time Zone, then 11 a.m. on the East Coast. Okay, so we'll see you there. Just press one, Joshua. We'll bring you on, and then don't nobody hang up because we got 10 minutes left, and hopefully they'll give us another 10 minutes in overtime. So please don't hang up. Okay, so Brother Dynamike, man. So what's your feedback on all this, sir? Okay, all right, Dynamike.
I think he's still on the conference call, so he's going to be in and out.
So anyway, okay, and then, well, okay, now we got three people here coming in off the fence. Okay, all right, he's got his hand up. Okay, all right. All right, okay, we got somebody here with their hand up right here, and then we just unmuted their mic at 217, okay. Well, anyway, they ran for cover, okay, so we got two more at 217,
yeah,
okay.
Just press one, Joshua, and we'll bring you on the air.
Yeah, because he did have his hand up. Okay. And let's try. Well, since we saw him have his hand up the first time, we're going to try him again right here.
Yes, sir. I raised my hand. I raised my hand so many times, and it wasn't going up.
No, but what happened, Josh, was that Blog Talk itself, man, was going through some technical difficulties, and this is why normally we do this show here on Fridays, right? But then they put it out, well, we got technical difficulties, so we're not, you know, have to redo it. And so fortunately, the co-executive producer had a presence of mind, you know, to hit me on the phone this morning, hey, man, got to answer the bell. So that's what we're doing, and we're making it happen. Okay, so Joshua, so what's on your mind this morning?
Oh, a lot of goofy stuff is happening today. I don't know if you've paying attention to the nonsense around the world.
I just
hope you're doing arm circles, making sure you're stretching out, because this is about to be ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. It's getting more and more ridiculous, man, anytime that I look up here at this stuff, man, you know. And then also, too, we crumb bumming on artificial intelligence is because it's taking over too rapidly. And what it is...
Hold on, but I got a question for Joshua. Joshua, are you familiar with the Hannah Payne case?
I'm sorry?
Joshua, are you familiar with the Hannah Payne case down in Georgia?
I'm sorry. Are you talking about that that broad that had a mental condition and she ended up getting shot by the cops when she came at them with a 9-inch knife?
No, not her. You're thinking of Hannah Nichols. No, this broad, she hit a black man, or a black man had a medical emergency while driving, and he ended up running into her. And instead of following what the 911 operator told her to do, which was to wait until the proper authorities arrived and, you know, get a police report and take down his information, she decided to track him down, box him in, demand his information, and then she killed him. She shot and killed him. And then she lied, said that he had grabbed her gun and killed himself. and they can sentence her to life in prison with the possibility of parole. You got to serve like 80% of the sentence.
I don't want to sound cruel when I say this, but I think that we are not using our active volcanoes responsibly.
We're not using our what responsibly?
Our active volcanoes. They're terrible people, and we should just chuck them in active volcanoes, and that'll be the end of them.
Oh, okay. So I'm taking you. You're speaking up about
that. I wasn't trying to be mean about that.
This was a white woman that killed this black man, and from the video, she was going off on him, calling him everything but a child of God, and then lied and said that he had killed himself with her own gun.
Okay, that he killed himself.
She got away with it for like 4 years. She didn't serve no jail time for 4 years, and now they sentenced her to life in prison with the possibility of parole.
Wow. Okay, now, you see, what is happening is, if I may interject, okay, so she's figuring that's the normal thing to do. So, once again, the ethos in America, ladies and gentlemen, is so vehemently against black males. Why does it hate black males so much? I'm going to tell you why. It's because they're in fear of an uprising that they don't have nothing to worry about. You see, because
the laws don't apply to them and they can just do whatever, and that's why we call it white privilege, because they think that
Can I contradict that?
Okay,
sir, so you can say whatever you like.
Yes, sir. I think that the entire Western world hates white men that are not gay and probably Christian.
The entire Western world is based off of that exactly.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, I know. Yes, sir. But if you go to all the major cities, everybody hates white people. Everybody hates Christians. Everybody hates all this other nonsense. I mean, you go to London, for God's sake, where white people come from.
Right.
No, don't worry.
London, Paris, Belgium, Brussels, Stockholm, you know what I'm saying? What is that? Amsterdam, Germany, Berlin. So please continue.
I don't want it to be this way. I don't want there to be a racial thing, you know? We're Americans.
Well,
it'd be awesome
now,
if we just stop being terrible. But, you know,
Americans,
we're not going to stop doing that.
We are the original Americans. We are the reason why it is in America. There was no America until our ancestors made it so. But the public
and all the slave labor
tells you that founding fathers who would have lost the Revolutionary War if it wasn't for our ancestors, and definitely would have lost the Civil War if it wasn't for our ancestors.
I'm pretty sure my
ancestors weren't there for the Revolutionary War, but they were definitely there for the Civil War.
Okay, now keep in mind, old Josh, but we lost our people in every war. Yeah, in every war that the United States of America has been in, man, there's been black blood spilled, right? Now, see, this is why we place emphasis on the souls of our ancestors who came through those slave ports, man, of New Orleans.
The Barbary Wars.
Place
emphasis on those Barbary Wars.
What
other slave system existed in the history of mankind? Because that's what y'all like to say. Humanity, you got to have a hue. Technically, human. But in mankind's history, that dehumanized.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
More slaves from Northern Africa went to the Middle East, but Middle East had a different practice when it came to.
First thing first, Jonathan.
I'm sorry, sir. Can I finish that statement? Because that's really sad.
No, the Middle East is no such place. But continue.
I'm saying that the Middle East was the top proprietor of slaves from North Africa. And the reason that there aren't a bunch of black men and women running around Saudi Arabia is that when they took the slaves from North Africa into Saudi Arabia, they castrated them.
Yeah, you're talking about the Ottomans and the Turks. That's not what
I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Sauds. Yeah, Saudi Arabia, the Arabians, and the Persians.
Okay, so Joshua, are you aware that prior to Europeans coming out of caves, that was all considered, that was all Africa. All of that so-called Middle East, Arabia, all that, that was all Africa, or to be a more correct, Northeast Africa. But
I'm talking about the last 3,000 years.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the eunuchs. That went on here as well, Jonathan, with the castration. And in fact, there was a woman by the name of Madame Lalari in New Orleans, who is documented to have created the first sex change because she would change her slaves.
Do you know what the most aggressive executive order ever?
Them to rearrange their body parts and make them look like a crab.
Do you know what the most aggressive executive order on American soil was?
That's my question, Jonathan, or Joshua. Sorry, Joshua. My question was, that doesn't compare to what went on here in America, because that went on in then some here in America. They were castrating us, lynching us, you name it.
They weren't doing that the same way that the Arabs were, I promise you.
No. We know for a fact. Well, hold on, Joshua. No, we know that there for a fact is because, see, that there was the main thing that they did to blackmail in part, or the blackmail emasculation. Please don't nobody hang up. We're going into overtime. Okay, we're having a very, very interesting conversation here with Joshua, and if we get the plug pulled on us early, please get back with us because we're going to redo this show again. But Joshua, that was a very, very common practice of what they did in the South, from New Orleans, man, to South Carolina, man. You know
castration
what I mean?
Castration was a normal practice.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Because see, what it was, it was. Okay, I know my people's history. We love having you, man. But we know our people's history. Me and Che, man, we know our people's history. Okay, all right. Now, keep in mind, it was common practice to put fear into the black male. Okay, and then what they did was that they would go up there and violate black women on a regular, routine basis. What do you think you got? But where did Black Friday come from? Not bum rushing Walmart, you know what I'm saying? Not going up there to get early morning Christmas sales. No, Black Friday is because institutionally they sold black females, man, to have her as a breeder. And when the United States of America, man, recognizes this barbarianism to us as black people, okay, that's the only way I can see any kind of healing. Now, these black-ass politicians, man, that sell black folks down the tubes every fucking day, man. We don't recognize them. They welcome to call in too. Jeff Fart, you know what I'm saying? We don't recognize them. Opportunist sellout. And the part that is so sad about these individuals is that they know they're getting used, but at the same token, they're not going to put up no resistance.
No, it's the money. It's just the money. Compromise.
Yeah, but you know what Black Friday actually is, right?
No, Black Friday, man, is when people are bummed.
Okay, that's supposed to be Black Friday. Yeah,
okay, no.
What is your definition of Black Friday, Joshua?
Black Friday, if you have a quarter, you're going to either be in the black or the red. Black Friday is when they act like they're giving you deals at the end of the year for sales and holiday season. And then they literally slap posters all over the place, and they're like, this $1,000 TV is now $950. And the TV literally costs them
$400 to bring it into their store for them to sell you.
Right.
Yeah. No, Black Friday is about keeping them in the black for that quarter. It's not about black people.
No, yes, sir, it is. It's because all the Black all that Friday, what they used that. To do,
like Wall
what they
Street.
Used to
you know,
do.
You know where Wall Street came from, Joshua?
The I'm sorry?
Market. Do you know where Wall Street came from?
No, sir, I do not.
All right, I'm going to tell you. So they used to have the auction block down there at Battery Park, and they created a street called Wall Street. And you know why it was called Wall Street? Because that's where they were lined
because
up
they built
place.
A wall?
No. Because they would auction off the slaves, our ancestors,
right.
on the auction
right.
block. Right there.
Yeah, we should be very mad at Americans that bought slaves and Africans that sold them. We should be very mad at both of those people.
Underneath Wall Street. The stock exchange, the New York Stock Exchange, all of that. Our ancestors were the first stocks and bonds that were sold on Wall Street.
So you're telling me that we should be mad at people that bought slaves in America, and we should also be mad at people that sold slaves in Africa?
Okay, well, first of all, Joshua, here we go again. Listen to me very carefully when I tell you this, okay? It's because, Brother Che, you know where I'm getting ready to go. First place, what it was is where the confusion comes in, where Africans sold themselves into slavery, sold them into slavery for what? Those was Europeans coming down there with lies and manipulations. Now, the so-called slavery in Africa that you had, man, is that when one nation had fought another nation, the nation that lost was incorporated into the empire that won the war. This is how King Shaka built the Zulu Empire. So then when the European had came there, you see what I'm saying? He came with lies and deceits, and the ones that did the selling to the European, they were captured also as the slave market grew. So please get those facts together when you make such a statement. You see what I mean?
You do realize those are two different parts of the continent, right?
No,
down south.
Okay, hold it. I'm talking about the transatlantic slave trade that came off
yes,
the,
sir.
The
Shaka,
west coast.
Shaka, the Zulu
okay.
were down south. There was
okay,
the Zulu and the Bantu.
Okay, hold on. He's down in a place called Tanzania. And I was just using the king.
Oh,
yeah, I was just using the Zulu nation as an example.
Go ahead,
Sebastian. Yeah, yes, sir. I was just using the Zulu Empire as an example. But you had the empires of Queen Nzinga. You had the empires of Queen Niamey. Okay, Niamey. Okay, you had the empires of... Yeah. And then, of course, you know, our man named Mansa Musa. You see what I mean? Okay, and what it is that white America does not want to come up and realize, or all of Europe, actually, for that matter, don't want to come up and recognize its brutalizations to people simply because that they were different from them. You see what I mean? And then the cold part about it is why they, and these white people hate us so bad, but why do they want to have sex with black people? I don't get that.
Okay. Can I toss my hat in the ring there?
Yeah, sure. Please do.
I think that people throughout history have enslaved people that were next to them. The Arabs enslaved
the
Yemenis.
There's levels to this, Joshua.
I understand that. I know, but isn't that weird that you guys were able to say everything and I didn't interrupt you?
Go ahead, Joshua.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man. I really think that America is an opportunity for people to just stop being terrible.
Off of whose back? Where is this opportunity coming from? Again,
yeah.
Let me remind you, who built this country? Our ancestors built this country. So
yeah, mine too. Isn't that weird?
Generated off slave plantations, slave.
Yeah, but okay, can I just say this? Can I just say this? Because I hear that a lot in America, like black
still,
folks, and
on,
I'm not.
Still probably goes on. Go ahead, Joshua.
I'm sorry. When I hear that stuff, like black folks talk about America, and they're like 400 years of slavery, and I'm over here, I'm Irish. 900 years of slavery, 800 years of slavery. Like, I know, but you know who complains about it? People that never experienced it. Yes, sir. Yeah, I know, but you never experienced it. And I never experienced it.
And now we got passed down through the gene pool.
And people are still experiencing it right now?
That's the genetics. What are you talking about? I'm not in it. My great grandparents were sharecroppers in South Carolina. Are you serious, dude? Like, I really can trace my lineage back to this country. Like, I'm not from Africa. I'm not
Alabama.
Right. I'm from South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, Florida. That's where my people are from. Originally.
And then keep in mind that the gross national product of America had benefited off the transatlantic. Still benefited off of Jim Crowism, still benefited a bit off of it today. So the only reason
I'm saying that there are people experiencing it right now, and I'm so happy to be here with you, gentlemen, not to experience that.
Okay, but Joshua, it's something that you don't want to experience, okay? Because, see, not only...
yeah, it's something you don't want to experience too, right?
What's that, Joshua?
I'm asking you the same question you just said. You made a statement. I'm happy. Yes, I don't want to experience slavery. Neither do you, right?
Okay, no, but that's just it. So we're still dealing with the entrails of it to this day. Why do you think it is time when
you do understand that there are more slaves in the world today than there were when we abolished it in the Western world, right?
Okay, the United States of America,
okay,
don't deflect.
You're getting abstract. You see, you're just taking us off the point.
We got prisons. We got some of the big. Well, you know, we incarcerate the most people per capita out of any so-called first world nation. So come on, Joshua. Come with something better than that.
Not come on. No, I think this place is embarrassing to our potential, yes. But no, we're not slaves.
So you're talking about opportunity, right? So where's that opportunity come from?
Have you ever seen a slave before?
The land of opportunity. Opportunity for who and off of who's back?
You think that the things that I have because of my skin color come off of your back?
You're damn skippy. Okay. You're benefiting from it.
You damn right it does.
Indirectly.
Why do you think that? Why do you think that the things that I did in my life to make my life better come off of your back?
Okay, because first of all, what you have to look at is the contribution in the long run, man, of the transatlantic slave trade to the U.S.
I'm an Irishman. I'm not English. I'm not French. I'm asking you a question. What do you think? Do you think I owe you something?
Your whole lineage. Oh, something. You're damn stupid.
My whole lineage from Ireland owes you something.
Come over here with a few nickels and pennies in your pocket like y'all love to tell, and a lot of y'all didn't even have no paperwork, so y'all just changed your name when you got here, and then you infiltrated the police department, the court system,
So I owe you something for something I never did to you.
It don't matter if you were there to experience it. It still happened.
I've never done anything to you at all. Why do you think that you as an individual can ask me as an individual to give you something for something I didn't do to you?
Who their saints, St. Patrick, killed the original inhabitants of Ireland, the Twa, who were short so-called African black people. They don't want to tell that. That was snakes in the...
You speak Gaelic now. Pog Mahone. Yeah, I know you don't speak Gaelic because that's the language of the Irish, but yeah,
no,
sure.
No, I'm not Irish.
Yeah, I'm just saying, why do you... No, I need to... Please explain that to me.
Were slave catchers.
I don't... Dude, yeah, my people were slaves too. Yeah, longer than Africans were slaves to the Europeans.
And enslaved until in perpetuity. No, that is not...
The Irish were slaves to the English before English people even saw Africa.
They treated y'all so bad in Europe. And y'all were eating potatoes and scratching your ass and spreading the black plague and whatever else disease that y'all love to spread everywhere y'all go. Guns, and steel. The Irish benefited off of the slavery market here in the United States. And then y'all infiltrated all the so-called law enforcement agencies that exist. And y'all benefited from it. So, yeah, y'all owe it.
And then they also had owned slaves in the United States. Why do you think you got so many black people with slave names like McDaniel, O'Neill?
Yeah.
You see what
all
I'm
that.
Saying?
Yeah,
McDonald. You see what I'm saying? Shaughnessy. You see what I mean? And things of that. And then, too, they were still rich black women on the plantation system and, you know, and violating black girls, too, as well. Read the autobiography of Malcolm X, you know what I'm saying? He'll give you something up on that. That's the point of what we're trying to get across, Joshua. Now, please address that, and we're going to unmute your mic, okay? And Brother Ted, we're going to let him see what his responses is to these two premises that were just put before him.
Well, they're going to pull the plug whenever they pull the plug.
Okay, Joshua, your mic is unmuted. Okay, so we're in overtime.
The Vice President of the United States, his name is Kamala Harris. Her family is from the Caribbean. They're Jamaican, I think, and they owned a bunch of slaves, and they were black.
Okay,
they
sir, that's
not
true.
That is incorrect. They were
not
coolies.
True.
Her daddy is coolie. Do you know anything about the coolies of Jamaica, Josh?
So the Coons, the Bootlickers, Uncle Tom, even though, have you ever read that story? Sambo was the actual bad guy in that story. Uncle Tom was actually the good guy.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever read that story.
Sir.
I did.
Yes, sir.
We both did, Joshua. We're not dumb. We're very well read.
You know, we wouldn't be investing our money in this platform, man, is that because we're not going to get up here and make asinine statements. The staff of this platform
so
right
you
here.
So you were talking about Kamala Harris. Well, if I could give you a whole rundown of
I just, my simple request for everybody
Harris,
is to travel to a foreign
cool.
land.
Hold on, Joshua. Let's break this down. So Kamala Harris, her daddy's
right.
family is coolie. That's the upper bourgeois name of Jamaica.
Jamaica.
See,
okay.
Kyle Wright, communist and socialism and all that nonsense. Yeah.
Her mama's side.
We're in America.
Her mama's side, hold on, her mama's side is Brahmin Indian.
Right.
So they're very
the
upper-class bourgeoisie of
Indians. Right, yeah, way above the untouchables, you see. And then, too, black people in the United States, that's what they are.
They have a blatant caste. The U.S. has...
Yes.
People of authority don't know how to do things. People of comfort don't know how to do things.
If they do, they've been compromised. They took the money, so now they got to go along.
The bourgeoisie... In the Marxist nonsense you're talking about are people that knew how to do things. Do you think you're the proletariat?
Who invented capitalism? Who invented capitalism, Joshua? Was it Africans or was it Europeans?
I don't wish any harm upon you, but you do understand speaking that way, you're actually calling for the death of people, right?
Y'all been calling for the death of us, so... what
you think that
about?
The fight that you think
y'all
that you're gonna win the
anyway.
Fight you're asking for?
Y'all already shooting yourself in the foot, and y'all know y'all time is
I'm
up.
Not,
y'all got less than 100 years left on the
Who is y'all? Who? I'm Catholic. I don't care. I don't care about any of this petty nonsense.
Oh my God, you're Catholic. You know I'm a pedophilia going on in the Catholic Church. Are you?
And they sanctioned the slave trade too. Yeah, because, you know, they would all go to the
You know that the slave trade today is only brown, yellow, and black people today, okay. Right now, as we speak? Right now?
What else is new? You act like you're telling us something.
You don't care about that crap. You're just talking about stuff that happened a long time before
even your grandparents
were alive.
We don't have prison.
I'm just saying, it's easy to look back at the past and act like a victim. There is stuff happening right now. As we speak, there is stuff happening right now. And you're not going to, you don't care about that?
No, we are victims. We are victims of white supremacy.
It
does not benefit us. It harms and destroys us. This system, the current system that's been put in place does not benefit us, guys.
Exactly. And we are hell bent against it and want to do away with it and replace it with an actual system of justice,
which guarantees that nobody is mistreated by the color of their skin, and those that need the most constructive help get it in a constructive manner. Well, who would that be, Joshua? That would be our aunt. That would be our people. That would be our people.
Right.
The foundation of Americans, descendants of American chattel slavery. The ones that make sure there was America for the Irish.
I'm sorry. I'm only allowed to speak sometimes. This is not meritocratic.
We control the airwaves here. But go ahead, Joshua. What's the response to that?
Yeah, go ahead. And then, too, Joshua, when we making our points, man, the only reason you get muted, man, is because when we making our points, you try to come in there with deflection, man, and we ain't going for it. But now, you got the floor.
You're not saying stuff that helps people.
Oh, yes, I am.
I don't. What do you want from me?
I did.
What do you want from me?
I just laid that out.
Okay, Josh.
It's going right over your head, Josh.
I'm speaking on the color.
Go ahead.
I'm happy to tell you what I want from you. What do you want from me?
What do you expect me to give you?
Because I'm apparently the white devil. What do you want from me?
Apparently. Well, you're all suspected racist and white supremacist until proven otherwise.
I don't give a crap about race. You do. I don't care about race. Keep going.
You cannot care about it all you want. It don't mean it don't exist.
Exactly, Josh.
Yeah.
See, it affects us as a people because of that, man. Do you know how many times, man, that each time I get behind the wheel of my car, man, driving, do I have to wear?
You wouldn't go to another country and do that, sir.
Excuse me.
It's not the same thing.
The one who fled here from Ireland during the potato famine.
You know. They say the potato famine, that's none of our concern. You know, I'm talking about each time I get in my vehicle and go drive and I see a police officer get behind me, he's going to blow my brains out. Say, that's what's going through my mind right now.
Like, so they got that echo, that European echo.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
you haven't experienced the racism of Asians then.
Okay.
Have I? Are you serious right now? What, Chewbacca, get...
Where did you go in Asia?
Okay, man. Go to San Francisco. That there's enough of Asia.
I don't have to go anywhere in America to be treated like crap. I'm white.
Look at Latasha Harlan during the potato famine. And look at what happened to Latasha Harlan, who was shot and killed by a Korean woman. That's an Asian. And they said that she was stealing orange juice, and she left the money and the orange juice on the counter, and then the Korean woman shoots her in the back of the head. And what did they give her?
After we made way for these motherfuckers, because they was demonizing them during World War II. And after that time, they had them characterized in a really horrendous way. But then they put them in our communities, and we embraced them. We made the Bruce Lee who he grew to be.
Okay. See, so that's what we're talking about.
He was right here in Oakland with his brother. He was kicking it with his brother.
And the reason why you keep getting muted, Joshua, is because, see, we're not going to sit up here and argue back and forth. Now it's time for you to make your point. Me and Brother Che, we'll listen to you, man. We will listen to you. And we're not muting ourselves. It's because we're the production staff here. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, the floor is all yours, Joshua.
At any time now, so.
Yeah.
No, I'm right here. You want me to say what I'm going to say? If the entirety of America started acting like South Koreans, all of this nonsense would be done in a week.
And what kind of business is that job?
South Korean. All right.
Yes.
Yeah, we got to break that down, Joshua. What is so lovely
that means
about South Korea?
That means the Rodney King riots hopping up on top of the shops. If you're going to come to Loop, you're going to get shot.
If I recall correctly,
learn quickly. Learn quickly.
We just had a brother that had to go AWOL because they were treating him so horrendously.
What does AWOL mean? What does AWOL mean?
Absence without leave in the military.
Yes. Okay.
And then keep in mind, though, too, Joshua, you know, we appreciate your feedback and what have you. But see, but you're very erroneous on a few things. I was in Los Angeles in 1992, April 28th, you know, April the 29th, you know, when it went down. Yeah, see, they
when they beat that man to death because he was white?
We're talking about Rodney King, man, when he got beat by the LA.
Yeah, when they dragged that truck driver out of the vehicle and beat him to death because he was white. And they started ascending on Koreatown. In Koreatown, they hopped up.
Okay, but you see, Joshua, what you have to understand you had the Latasha Harlins case go on before that, you know, where she was killed by the Korean, right? They give a 5-year summary probation. Then after she was killed, the Rodney King case went down, man, like about 2 months, if memory serves me correct, okay? So then they take the case, they give it a change of venue, Brother Che, out of L.A. County to Ventura County. Do you know it's in Ventura County, man? Reagan supporters, rich people with ranches, land. You see what I'm saying? So the verdict comes out, right? These cops are innocent, you know? Rodney King got what he deserved. What? And then it's caught on video as well. Well, too. So, hey, no justice, no peace. You know, just like how they still killing us. And this is why, you know, cop
they're not still killing black people. I promise you, there are actually studies that came out that said that police, they kill white people at a much higher rate. That's ridiculous, man. I'm just tired of people acting like victim of stuff they have never experienced.
Act like something we are. We are prisoners of war.
You're prisoners of war? What? Okay. What is stopping you from relocating?
Oh, why?
There are over 200. There are over 200. There are over 200 countries on this planet. You cannot go to three of them.
We should not have to relocate anywhere.
You shouldn't have to go anywhere. I'm not asking you to go anywhere.
Put them on me, Roger, because I can't deal with this.
All right.
No dual citizenship anywhere in Alcubilon, which is the original name of Africa. Ethiopia, we have no dual citizenship here. So where can we relocate to, Doctor, the builders of the country that we are currently in? All right, I'll meet him, Doctor.
Well, folks, this is an interesting story today. Are you still there, Brother Che?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. This is an interesting one here. Yeah, we're in the overtime right here. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to go on and end this show right here. Okay, Joshua, you're welcome to give us a call back on Tuesday at our normal time. You're always welcome to give us a call on Grand Rising with Shabaka and the Chays on Friday morning. It's because they pulled the plug on us, and we definitely appreciate Dynamite, you know, calling in out of the East and what have you, and give regards to him. Okay, so what we're doing, Joshua, we're making closing comments. I'm unmuting your microphone, okay? And we're making closing comments. Okay, well, Joshua dropped. Okay. All righty, okay, which is his right to do, and that there just proves our point, Brother Jay, is that there's no argument with undisputed the truth, okay? So rather this man, you know, faced with what we're dealing with, okay, he's already got a preset in his mind of how we should feel about our brutalization, and he is not a member of this group, okay? Now, see, that's the part that gets me. Okay, Brother Jay, we ain't Asians. We're not white or British or whatever. So we don't know what they go through. And plus, that is none of our concern. That's their people's issue.
All we know is they treat us horribly, and they don't do nothing to help us.
Exactly.
That's been the problem. We've been going our way to help savages and barbarians.
Yeah, exactly. And then look how we get treated. You see what I'm saying? But however, folks, it is what it is. Those are my closing comments right there on this episode right here. We appreciate Brother Che for producing it this morning. Okay, what is your closing comments, Brother Che?
Make sure y'all check us out later on today for Frontline Black News, Season 3, Episode 37, Part 1, at 10 p.m.
And we have Frontline Black News tonight.
Make sure y'all watch it to start all our platforms, Frontline Black News on YouTube and Facebook, The Revolutionary Agenda on YouTube and Facebook, The Black Experience Enhanced on Twitter, now X, and Facebook.
Right. Right.
Peace, love, light, reparation, and separation. What should we go out with, Tabaka? Oh, thank you to everybody that called in, Brother Dynamite. You know, you're always welcome to call in. Lady K is under the weather, so, you know, people are in our thoughts and prayers.
Okay, we're going to go out with Milestones.
Okay.
Played by the one and only. Yeah, by the one and only Mr. Miles.